somebody was asking about how we are intellectually understanding the soul, but how can we realize that we are not this body, we are the soul? So in the beginning of our spiritual life, we hear about the knowledge, we are not the body, we are the soul. But one has to act on the platform of soul in order to come to the platform of realization. What are the activities of soul? The activity of soul is described in the scriptures: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, Mandanam, Parasevanam, Darsanam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. All these 9 processes Prahlad Maharaj explains. Iti Puncha Arpita Prana Paktischen Navalakshanam. These 9 activities are the activities of the soul in the spiritual world. Shravanam is hearing, like all of you are hearing now. Achyuta Kata, hearing Krishna Kata, is the activity of the soul. Similarly, Kirtanam, singing, dancing, offering bhoga, offering archana for the Lord, circumambulating the Lord's deity, and offering dandavat pranam, and accepting the Lord's prasada. All these things are pure activities of the soul in the spiritual world. So in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada taught everyone how we should do the same activities as we do in the spiritual world. What is the difference between our activities and people doing activity in the spiritual world? The only difference is we are doing it in an impure state and they are all doing it in a purified state. That's the only difference. So when you do it in an impure state, these activities may have to be accepted as an austerity rather than doing as an activity with great pleasure. Somebody was asking towards the end a question about how do we convince ourselves that we are blissfully situated in devotional service. You cannot convince yourself, because when you hear the knowledge, the scriptures say that only by understanding about the Atma and the body and understanding about God you can get happiness. So it is just a theory for you. In the beginning, performing spiritual life may not be very blissful. Like you wake up early in the morning and you have to sit and chant the japa, japa mala. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it may not be a very happy activity in the beginning. In fact, to do one mala, two mala, it may be so difficult. You may feel boredom. Or to read only spiritual books. And you are also told that you should avoid so many things. You are not supposed to read pornographic literature. You are not supposed to watch blue films. And you are not supposed to freely associate with opposite sex. And you are not allowed to eat meat. And you are only allowed to eat sattvic diet, which is offered in love to Krishna. So all these rules and regulations in the beginning may not make one very blissful or happy. On the contrary, instead of becoming happy, you may only feel morose. Although sometimes we see devotees coming to temple in the beginning are very enthusiastic. Srila Prabhupada, when he was preaching in America, many, many boys and girls used to come. And Srila Prabhupada would make a jar of gulab jamun and keep it near the door. And he told all the devotees, whoever wants, you can take as many gulab jamuns as you want. He gave them so much freedom. So anybody would come and take 1, 2, 3, 4 unlimited gulab jamuns. And they were so happily situated. So they thought spiritual life is only this much, so jolly, just eating gulab jamun. So Prabhupada sometimes say, eat your way back to Godhead. Eat nice prasadam and chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So spiritual life is suddenly eating prasadam and chanting and much more. There's much more in spiritual life. Because one has to give up certain things and one has to accept certain things. When we come to the world, we have so many sinful propensities which we don't want to give up. So in all these things. So it is not very easy. So in the beginning of spiritual life, one may feel even morose. But what is the most important point is that you should be fixed in the truth. For example, simple example, like if any of you want to get the university first time, this is the easy task. It's quite tough. That means you should beat everyone else other than you. So you may have to work very, very hard for that. Day and night you may have to burn the midnight oil. You have to study foreign author books. You have to work out problems and you have to get your doubts clarified. Go to the teacher, read varieties of books and become very proficient in the subject. which may naturally involve sweat and toil. It is not very easy. But then ultimately you are going to get a very wonderful end result of this endeavor. Similarly, in this material world, even to do any type of business, you may have to really work hard. If you see the great businessmen of today, those are shining in the market, they are the most hard-working people and the most enthusiastic people in that field. They were ready to give up their lunches. They were ready to wake up midnight when they get a customer. They were ready to wake up from their bed at 1 o'clock if they would get a customer. Just when they would come to know that a customer needs 1,000 numbers of a product and he wants it by tomorrow morning, they are ready to go from their home at 12 o'clock to the business. Only such people have become big, big business magnates today. So they would have begun with a small room like this. Now they have 3, 4, 5, 6 extension centers, and then that way they have expanded all over India. Big businessmen. Those who are very committed and dedicated to their business. In the same way, our business is to go back home, back to Godhead. That is our goal. We want to go to Vaikuntha. We want to return to God. So if we want to return to God, we have to show our full enthusiasm and vigor in practicing spiritual life to the best of our ability, by giving as much consciousness as possible, by giving as much time as possible, by reading the Shastras and following all the principles very carefully. So the question is not whether you get happiness or not. That's not the question. The question is whether you are making the Lord happy. Because the goal of Krishna consciousness is not to make one's own senses happy. Atmendriya priti icha dare balikam Krishnendriya priti vansa dare premana. One who tries to satisfy Lord Krishna's senses is actually a devotee. That is called as prem. One who tries to satisfy his own senses is actually called as kaam, lust. So our goal of life is to please the Supreme Lord, and we are ready to take any amount of trouble in order to do that. Sometimes you may get a lot of happiness in spiritual life. Sometimes there may be problems. It's not that there are no problems in any type of life. Everywhere there are problems. Material world means it is certified to be a place of problems. So sukha and dukkha both are going to come. But the difference is how you perceive it. As you go on advancing in spiritual life, both sukha and dukkha, you will perceive it alike. How is it possible to perceive sukha and dukkha alike? When dukkha comes, we start trembling. When sukha comes, happiness, we start jumping like a monkey. How can we accept the dukkha like sukha? It is possible if you have developed love for Krishna. Just like if your father comes from your native place to Pune and is carrying a big suitcase, heavy suitcase, and is standing near the station, and you are going to receive him. And the father says, "I will lift the suitcase. You go and take it away from his hands." "No, no, father, please give it to me. I will lift it." So you take the suitcase. So you are ready to tolerate the big burden of suitcase, although it is very heavy. Do you feel it very heavy? You may feel it heavy, but because of the burden of love, you feel that it's better that you lift it instead of allowing your father to lift. How are you able to lift it? Because of your love for him. In the same way, as the devotee advances, even if there are some miseries in his spiritual life, he will not worry about it. He knows that I have to endure these miseries for the pleasure of Krishna, because he is the Lord of my life. For his love, I am ready to do anything. So in spiritual life, we don't say that now you chant Hare Krishna, that's all. You will get first rank in your college and you will have no problems in life. And you will get distinction and you will get first mark and everything will be happy in your life and all problems are gone. We don't say like that. Problems are going to be there. That's the nature of the material world. But how you perceive them, that will depend on how much you become mature in devotional service. So a devotee is least concerned about what is offered to him, whether he is offered happiness or distress. A devotee is very particular about doing his service to Krishna and pleasing Krishna. That is one's goal. So when we act on the platform of soul, we should always think that I am alien to this material world. This should be our first consciousness. You should never think, I belong to this world, especially I belong to this particular family, I belong to this caste. My caste is such and such caste. And my mother tongue is such and such. Some people are proud of their mother tongue. Some are proud of their caste. Some are proud of their state. Some are proud of their family lineage. Sometimes people in their own houses, you will see, they keep a tiger or a deer on the wall, saying that this was shot dead by my great, 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 great grandfather. So they think the lineage is a very big lineage. They also maintain a big mush. So sometimes they become attached to the petty things of the world, to our own jati, to our own kul, to our own desh and state. So these are called bodily consciousness. Vasyatma buddhi kunapetri dhatuki. So if one wants to realize I am not the body, I am the soul, the first step is one should understand that I don't belong to this world. I belong to this original spiritual world. From where I have come to this material world temporarily, for a short period of time. And let me try to cultivate the spiritual consciousness by which I can return back to my original home. One should remember this. Only then one can gradually achieve the spiritual consciousness. This is the first step. And then after understanding that I am alien to this world, one also should act on the platform of soul. Acting means behaving on the platform of soul. What is the meaning of behaving? If you want to behave as the soul, Krishna says, Tasmat Shastra Pramanante Karya Akarya Vivastitav. So what to do and what not to do, you have to learn from the Shastra Praman. So you have to show the Lord that all the activities that you are doing in your life are based on the Shastra. The Shastra says, four things you should do. You should do association of devotees, you should have chanting, you should read spiritual books, and you should eat prasadam. So these four do's and four don'ts, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no other sex. Follow these things. So these do's and don'ts are based on the Shastra. You should follow them. And besides following them, when we read the books and associate with devotees, gradually one will get better and better and better realization about the soul. Most important of it is given by Rupa Goswami. Three things he says very essential for advancement in spiritual life. One should endeavor, he says, with great confidence and patience, but with utmost enthusiasm. Three factors he says, utsahan, nishchaya, dhairya. You should be very enthusiastic to render service, but you should be very patient for the result to come. The Lord is certainly pleased with those devotees who are very enthusiastic to render service, but who are not asking for the results immediately. Like if you join, say for example, you are joining telco. Let us assume that you are a very brilliant computer software engineer. Join telco. Just after 1 month you are asking, sir, when will you give me M2 manager post? Please tell me. Then tell you what, you have not even got probation now. Now you are just a trainee. You have to be patient. After another 3 months you again go to him. When can I become manager? I want to become managing director of the company. First of all, you deserve and then desire. When you don't even deserve, then how can you desire? In the same way, we have been rotting in this material world for millions of lifetimes out of a separate desire to enjoy from Krishna, away from Krishna. And we have committed abominable sinful activities in the past and even in the present. And now, it is the Lord's mercy that He has allowed us to be in the association of such a wonderful devotee. That itself is a great reward that He has given you. One great Vaishnava poet sings, my Lord, how did You put me in such wonderful association? I am like a black sheep in a herd of white sheep. So one should feel like that. One should feel grateful for what one has been already offered. But people foolishly sometimes, as soon as they come to spiritual life, after 3 months they say, what is this? I am chanting Hare Krishna. I am not getting any tears in the eyes. Nayanam Galadashri Dharaya. I am not feeling. So you cannot expect to have Krishna Prema in 3 months or in 1 year. One should be really very patient. Although one is very patient, that doesn't mean one should be very lazy sleeping. One should be very enthusiastic. Like in business I was telling you, you cannot just put a board, whoever want, whatever item you want, please wake me up. You can't be sleeping. Lie down and sleep. People will come to your shop, they will see you sleeping, they will go away. They will go to some other shop where a man is very active. You may say, I have put a board, please wake me up. Why did this fellow not wake me up? That is no use. Your enthusiasm should be seen by your action. You should be waiting for a person, waiting for receiving the customer. In the same way in spiritual life, waking up early in the morning, singing Mangala Arati, chanting Hare Krishna, accepting prasadam, visiting the temple and doing lot of services for Krishna. Although one is supposed to do one's special duty, along with that one should try to give as much time as possible for Krishna. So you should show your enthusiasm. And you should develop confidence. Ustahan, nischayat, dhairyat. Actually the confidence is actually determination. Like the chakora pakshi, you know chakora pakshi? The chakora bird is determined not to taste even one drop of water that is lying on the ground. He is determined to accept only the rain water that comes from the cloud. Even if it doesn't rain for several days, he is ready to have a dry throat. He doesn't want to accept water from the ground. In the same way, the entire material world is glittering and offering you millions of varieties of happinesses, so-called happiness. But these happiness are very dangerous and detrimental for the progress of the soul. Because if you try to enjoy the happiness of the material world, the sensual pleasures of the world, you will become degraded in the soul and you will not be able to return back to the spiritual world. So although you see around you all people enjoying so-called happiness, they are actually not enjoying, they are suffering. One time Srila Prabhupada saw in the western countries, one man was surfing in the water. You have seen people surfing in the water? So Prabhupada told them, he thinks he is surfing but he is actually suffering. Because this fellow is trying to enjoy independent of Krishna, surfing in the water, and he is thinking he is enjoying. But actually every living being is apparently enjoying, but they are all suffering away from Krishna. So if one seeks enjoyment in this world and gets caught up in the worldly pleasures, then he is finished. So water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Similarly, happiness is everywhere, but you should not touch any of them. You should very vigilantly leave all the worldly happiness and seek only spiritual happiness. Tamante yogino anante satyananda chidatmani. One should relish the relationship between Krishna and the soul. Like the chakora pakshi was waiting for the drop of water from the sky, in the same way one should be determined that by chanting the Lord's names and by following all this process I will achieve Krishna prema. And one should not get carried away by the indriya tritti. If you get carried away, then you will lose the gift of eternal bliss. So you have to choose between the two. You want eternal bliss or you want temporary flickering happiness? What do you want? Temporary flickering happiness you will get immediately, but it is momentary. It will come and next moment it will be gone. It's gone. That's all. Whereas eternal bliss may take time to achieve, but then once you get it, it is your eternal property. You will never lose it. Some classes of us were giving the example of a 100 rupee note and a chocolate. So 100 rupee note and chocolate, a foolish person may choose a chocolate because he can get immediate tongue in the, immediate taste in the tongue. But the 100 rupee note may take some time to go to the market and buy chocolate. But it has hundreds of chocolates. In the same way, we should be ready to do tapasya for eternal bliss. So as he was asking, how do we convince ourselves that we are happy in devotional service? So how do we convince? We can be convinced provided you are engaged in Krishna service always. And happiness will also come, as it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tushti Pushti Chidapayana Dasam, that in the beginning it may be difficult, but if you perform the tapasya of regularly rendering devotional service, then you start getting the taste in the tongue. When you eat food, when you are a hungry man, first you get taste in the tongue, then you get satisfaction in the stomach, and then you get strength in the body, and you get the capacity to do work, energy. In the same way, when you do bhakti, gradually you will start tasting. In the beginning it may be bitter. The example is given by Rupa Goswami of a jaundiced man. The man who is having jaundice, can he taste sugarcane juice? It will be so bitter. But what is the medicine for jaundice? Sugarcane juice itself. So by drinking sugarcane juice regularly, he says that one will gradually start relishing the taste of sugarcane juice. In the same way, in the beginning chanting may be boredom. You may think, oh, when will I finish? It appears it is going so slow. It may be difficult for you to chant even one mala a day. But as time goes, you will develop such a taste for it. So the disease has to be cured. The disease of separatist mentality, wanting to enjoy separate from the Lord. The disease has to gradually diminish. To that degree, you will be able to relish the holy name. The more you understand Lord to be your master and yourself to be the servant, to that degree you can relish the chanting of the holy name. And then Krishna, depending on your surrender, will give you more and more happiness and bliss even while being in this world. But our conviction should be that if I am properly engaged in Krishna service under the guidance of devotees, my life is perfect. When the Pancha Pandavas went to Bhishma Pitama, when Bhishma Pitama was lying in the arrow bed, just before he left his body, when Bhishma saw the Pandava, he started bitterly weeping. He broke down into tears. And he told, "Oh Pandavas, you are such virtuous souls. Why did you undergo so much of suffering despite being so virtuous? But still, although you suffered a lot, now you have come to such a wonderful stage of becoming the king of the entire world." Krishna told the Yudhishthira to wear very attractive dress of a king. He told all the Pandavas to wear very good dresses and come in golden chariots. So they all came and landed. Seeing this, Bhishma started shedding tears that now you all have achieved a good status of life, although you suffered a lot before. But he told them one very significant instruction. He told them, because you are always guided by Brahmanas and always you are carrying the Lord, Supreme Lord with you, or Krishna, and your actions are always as per the Shastra. Because of this, you are having all the virtues which has ultimately brought you to a glorious life, although you suffered before. So three things he said. One should be guided by the Brahmanas, and one should always be carrying the Lord with them, and one should always follow the Shastra. So because of that you achieved everything in the world. So this is what is essential. We have to check ourselves. Are we being properly guided by devotees? Are we always remembering Krishna 24 hours a day, which we are supposed to do, supposed to practice gradually? Then one's life will certainly become happier. The Chakora Pakshi may not be happy immediately, but the drop of water is certainly going to come. But when he tastes that, he will be completely satisfied. But the water on the ground is anyway saltish. Similarly, the worldly happiness appears to be happiness. It is simply an illusion. Just like a wild animal who is madly running in the desert in search of happiness, in search of water, is very thirsty. He runs here and there, and at a long distance it appears there is a river of water flowing. He thinks, if I go there, maybe I will get water. Lot of water I will get. He runs there, and closing his eyes, he pounces upon the sand, thinking that it is water. But mirage means there is no water. So when he puts his mouth inside, what happens? Instead of getting water, he gets dry, hot sand in his throat, which aggravates his thirst more, much more than what he was having before. In the same way, the indriyatriti, bhautik indriyatriti, material sense enjoyment, is only going to aggravate your desire for enjoying more. There is no end point. Krishna says, dushpurena analena cha, he says. It's like pouring oil in fire. Can you ever expect the fire to be extinguished when you pour oil into fire? You can only expect it to grow bigger and bigger. In the same way, never think that this material sense enjoyment is going to satisfy you. It is simply impossible as per the statements of the Shastra. And you can practically see in the world with our own eyes. So, one should become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, and one will gradually achieve this happiness, even while being in this world. Even before you return back home, back to Godhead. That is promised to Krishna. That's why he says, in the Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, yad dadagre amritamiva parinaame vishamiva. He says, yad dadagre amritamiva. In the beginning it is like amrita. Anything in this world is like amrita. Like having sex with 10 women. It's like amrita in the beginning. Man thinks, oh, I am a free bird, I can do anything I want. But parinaame vishamiva. What is the parinam? Yeah, vishamiva. It is poison. One gets AIDS and one piteously dies. In the same way, anything of this world which gives you so-called happiness in the beginning, so it's nectar in the beginning, poison at the end. So spiritual life may be poison in the beginning, but nectar at the end. It need not be necessarily poison. There may be some tapasya that you have to perform. But if you have a right spirit, there is no problem. If you have a proper spirit, even all of you are studying engineering, is there no difficulty in studying engineering? Lot of difficulty. But many of you are spirited and you are thinking that although I have difficulties, later on I am going to become a successful engineer and I will join a very famous company or I will start my own business. So because of that enthusiasm, even now you are showing enthusiasm. In the same way, when one becomes convinced about the ultimate goal, that I am going to very soon return back home, back to Godhead. In this very life, I want to go back to Godhead. That conviction can give him a tremendous enthusiasm. It's very much possible. So such a person can endure all the petty difficulties that may come. As the saying goes, no pains, no gains. So the way to winning dollars is not a bed of roses. All these are proverbs in English. If you want to win the dollars, you can't expect your way to be a bed of roses. Generally, Indrajati only appears to be a bed of roses. In the beginning, when you go there, you understand it is a big ditch. You lie on the bed of roses, it takes you into a ditch. But spiritual life, it may appear to be difficult in the beginning. Rules, regulations, so many conditions. And the world may not support you. But still, one is convinced about getting that ultimate happiness. Then one can achieve it. So while intellectually understanding the soul, we also have to act on the platform of soul, behave as a devotee. If the soul is already blissful, why is it searching for bliss? That is very true. The soul is always blissful. But the soul's bliss can come only when he realizes himself to be the dependent enjoyer. The Supreme Lord is an independent enjoyer, but the soul is a dependent enjoyer. The soul has to depend on the Lord for his enjoyment. He cannot enjoy independently. A crude example is given. Just like a woman who marries a husband, shares a husband, and she serves the husband very nicely. She washes his clothes, she dries them, dresses them, and even she makes some tiffin and keeps ready. When the husband comes to the office, he feels so happy that she has done all the job of the home so nicely, house is so spick and span. He's very happy. So who becomes happy? Both of them become happy. Husband is happy because she has done her service. And wife is happy seeing husband to be happy. So she feels, seeing the satisfaction of the husband, she feels happiness. Like that. When husband writes a very nice, good job you have done, then she also feels happiness. I am talking of a very ideal husband and wife. Don't think of the modern women, don't think of a modern family. Probably in modern family, wife is an easy chair. Tells husband to wash her saree also. That's a different case. I am talking of a typical Vedic family. So, like here we set the example of husband and wife. In the same way, the Jivatma or the soul is a servant of the Lord. And the satisfaction of the Jivatma comes when he sees the Lord satisfied. So that's why it's called the dependent enjoyer. Very simple, many examples are given, just like a hotelier, somebody who wants a hotel. He is the owner, he doesn't have to do anything. Have you ever seen a owner of a hotel, you know, wiping the table like a waiter or bringing dosas and idlis? He doesn't have to do anything, he will be sitting at the counter and receiving money. All the profit goes to him. But there are many dependent enjoyers. They cannot be. That is what they call the dependent enjoyers. In the same way, we all are dependent enjoyers. So our bliss comes from the Lord. Without Lord, we have no meaning of bliss. But when the soul wants to be separate from God, he thinks I will be independent. I want to enjoy independent of you. So independent of God, there is no bliss at all. Just like the hand is so dynamic and active, but you amputate the hand and keep the hand aside. Hand may look exactly as it is appearing now, but it has already lost all the potencies. Is it not? It cannot function when you cut off the hand. Separately it cannot function. But when it is a part of the body, it can function very nicely. Similarly, the soul in union with God is always blissfully situated. But when it becomes separate from God and thinks I can be independent, then what happens? He is covered over by Maya, illusion, where he is unable to experience that happiness. So he is searching for the same happiness which he was experiencing in the spiritual world. That's why he is running here and there in search of that happiness. So search of happiness in this world is like the mad animal running in the desert for water. Many examples are given. So the example is given just like a man who enters into the forest out of desire for earning profits. Many examples are given in the Shastra. So one example that comes in Mahabharata is, a man sees at a long distance a big wall, a very huge wall, and he becomes eager to climb this wall and see what is there on the other side. With a very great endeavor, he climbs up the wall and jumps off from there. Then he sees a lot of trees, but as soon as he gets down, he hears the roaring of lions and tigers. He looks here and there and starts running. Tiger chases him, chases him. And he runs and runs and runs for a long distance. After that, the tiger is almost very close to him to gulp him down. Then he sees a well nearby. Closing his eyes, he jumps into the well. And when he's going down, he finds a branch. He holds on to the branch. Because down the well, it is so deep, nobody can escape from such a well. But he sees the well is so deep, and at the bottom of the well, there is a snake with his mouth wide open. So he understood that if I go down, I will be eaten by the snake. Then he's looking at the top, and tiger is ready to eat him. He's waiting, come up, come up, he's telling. And now he's catching the branch. He thought, at least now I am safe. But then at the end of the branch, he is seeing the two rats, white and black rats. Like that, they are biting on either side. Like this. Biting the branch on either side. All mechanical engineers know about what will happen if two rats are biting on either side and the cross section is reducing. Imagine. You must have studied crack morphology. So, the rats are biting at the end and he is holding on to the branch. So, what do you expect to happen? Very soon the branch will break and he will go into the mouth of the serpent. And not only is he holding on to the branch, around him there are so many thorny bushes that if he turns a little bit, thorns immediately give a scratch on his body and it starts bleeding. So he cannot move this way and that way. But he has to move because he is constantly stung by some honey bees also. Whenever honey bees, he just moves his body and then immediately gets a scratch. So he gets scratched and he is being stung by honey bees. So in between all these trials and tribulations, he becomes very fatigued and tired. And then he looks up and he sees there is a honeycomb from which honey is dripping and one drop of honey directly goes to his tongue. And when he tastes that honey, he says, wow, so wonderful. Then he forgets all the sufferings and he thinks it's a wonderful happiness. And forgetting in the situation in which he is put, he starts waiting for that honey. Whether it's going to come here or come here, he's waiting this way and that way. Trying to balance, like you catch a ball, trying to catch that drop of honey, trying to make all arrangements to somehow get that drop of honey. In the same way, this example is actually very meaningful and profound, because the tiger which is chasing is compared to the varieties of dangers that we undergo in the material world at every point of time. The serpent below represents the Kala Sarpa. Kala Sarpa is actually the inevitable time which is going to devour all of us at one point of time. There is no doubt about it. And the two rats, black and white rats, are the day and night, which are constantly cutting the branch, due to which our life is getting consumed and we are going to die, being devoured by time. And like you are saying, the thorny bushes and the honeybee stinging, these are the three kleshas, adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidaivika, which are constantly putting one into trouble. Actually, the tiger is compared to old age. The tiger is compared to jara. So, in this way, the person is tormented in such a situation. Still, if there is some kind of happiness in the world, one is trying to get that happiness. So, this is the condition of the poor living being in this world. So, he certainly hankers for happiness in this world, for material happiness. But material happiness can never satisfy him, because he is in the midst of all these dangers. And as you all have learned by now, we are repeatedly born again and again into similar situations. That means one time if the man is gulped by the sarpa, third thing is finished, again he is going to be reborn in a similar situation, again and again. So, one should intelligently understand the situation in which one is put in. One should try to find out a permanent solution to all one's problems. So the Vedas say you can completely get out of such a situation, you can be taken out. You know what is the remedy to come out of this situation? This man has to just come out of his dream, that's all. So we are under the dream that we are this body. That's why this man who was running, who was chased by tiger, everything he was actually dreaming. He was seeing everything. Similarly, the soul who can never die, can ever die? So the man was going to the mouth of the sarpa, but do we ever die? We never die at all. So we have to simply be awakened. Like in the night, sometimes when you're sleeping, you get a dream that a dog is chasing you. You are running, 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 and very close it comes and catches you. You wake up, jump from your bed, your body is sweating. And then you see there is no dog. Isn't it? So even during the day you are scared. So this is simply an illusion. Similarly, the soul under illusion is thinking, I am this body. That's why all these problems. So we have to be awakened to the knowledge of the soul. I am not this body, I am the soul, I am a eternal servant of Krishna. And with this understanding and spiritual practice, we can get this awakening. The more you are awakened, the more you will achieve the bliss of the spiritual world. You will understand this point? So, this is better. You want to become awakened to your original nature, or you want to continue this dream of the man going to the well? Yeah. So that awakening is called as the diksha. So one becomes awakened. So when you are awakened, that is the reason why the saintly persons are so peacefully situated, even while being in the material world. While possessing nothing, they don't have wealth, they don't have property, they have nothing to enjoy in the world. Still, they are called as prashanta. They are very peacefully situated, very happy. Sometimes people wonder, how can you become happy? You have nothing. You don't have a bungalow, you don't have a beautiful wife, you don't have children, you don't have cars, you don't have a business, and there is nobody to glorify you, there is no servants in your place. How are you happy? So the great saintly persons, they are happy because of having become awakened to their original nature, original consciousness. So one should achieve this stage of consciousness of the spiritual by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Archanam, all these ninefold part of devotional service. So I will lastly talk about the Soham, and then we will conclude today's session. One time a man wanted to know about God, how to achieve God. So one impersonalist told him, you chant this mantra and you can achieve God. So he received a mantra from him and he was chanting. Soham was chanting. Then another Vaishnava devotee came there. Vaishnava said, oh, this fool is thinking he is God. Sa aham. He is telling, I am the same God. So he told him, don't chant like this. Chant Da Soham. Just add one Da before that. He told him. Then he said, Da Soham. What does it mean? Da Soham means I am servant. So God is master and I am his servant. He was chanting. Then the first master came. Hey, you are saying you are servant, you are actually God. You don't know that? He said, okay, you are very adamant, you are not ready to give up this mantra. So add one sa before that, he said. Then he chanted, Sada Soham. He chanted, I am always God. So again the Vaishnava came to him and saw him chanting. No problem, you add one more God to that. Da Sada Soham. I am servant of the servant. So chanting. So in this way, right from time immemorial, there has been a competition between two different philosophies. One philosophy says, we are God. Advaitam. You are God, I am God, everyone is God. So God only is present in the heart of every living being. This is their philosophy. And after death, if you become purified, you become God, you become Brahman, Jyoti, you become Brahman. Another class of philosophers say, you are never God, you are a servant of God. So Arjuna had the same question. So he asked Krishna. In the 12th chapter, first verse you will see. Arjuna is asking, Evam tadati yuktaye bhakta svampadipasati hecha chaksharam abhyaktam tesham cheyogavittama. My dear Krishna, please tell me clearly. Evam tadati yuktaye bhakta svam. Those who are constantly worshipping you, those who are your devotees, are they best? Or hecha pi aksharam abhyaktam. Those who are worshipping the akshara, Brahma, that is Omkar. Soham, the chanters of Soham, are they greater? Who is greater? Krishna very clearly tells the answer in the next verse. Maya Vishama Noyema Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopeta Seve Yukta Tamamataha. Those who are constantly devoted to me with great transcendental faith and who are my bhaktas, they are the topmost. Krishna said. So there are two parts. One is the part of a bhakta and one is the part of a impersonalist or a mayavadi. So impersonalist, what is his method and what is the path of bhakta? I will tell you in simple terms. Right? Both of the people are interested in finding out the root of all existence. So what does the bhakta do? He does know what is the root. He goes to his spiritual master and asks him, what is the root of our existence? The spiritual master directly shows him the root of the tree. My dear child, this is the root of the tree, you have to water it here. And impersonalist does not approach anybody. He is now like a small worm in the branches. And now the worm is searching, where is the root? Can he find out? He may end up thinking one branch to be the root. So he is trying to find out the root by his own endeavor. So these two are two separate paths. Do not think they are same. So the reality is achintya bheda abheda. We are one in quality with God, but we are different in quantity. Morning you all must have learnt in the shloka Natyevaham Jatanasam. The Sadhana must have learnt, I will not elaborate it now. But suffice to say that the soul is a servant of God, but one in quality. Just like I was telling the difference between Prime Minister and you and me. He is also like you and me only, but the powers that he has, we cannot compare. In the same way, God is also a person like you and me, but he has unlimited potencies and unlimited powers, and he is the source of all that exists. So with this I will conclude the session now, for today. Thank you very much for all of you for our patient hearing. So we hold such meetings every Saturday. Step by step.